Well, greetings, friends. It's good to have you with us this Sunday morning. May the Lord richly bless you wherever you might be right now. And we're pleased to have you with us in our Sunday morning session here at CMI. And looking forward to Christmas time. And I see that because there's a Christmas card laying here on my Bible that was sent to me. And I just want to, from everyone here, to wish each of you a very good Christmas time. We could say, you know, Merry Christmas and all of the other terms, but I trust that and particularly that time in Christmas where we become more aware of the birth of the baby, Lord Jesus Christ. And the celebrating of that Christmas time in the various ways that we do. So we just wish you a happy Christmas, a Merry Christmas, and a safe Christmas time. And remembering that it is more than a holiday. It's a special time each year. And so we just want to, as a fellowship, as a group, wish you, your family, your loved ones, to be blessed in the reality of our being in union with Christ, of our being in Christ Jesus. So may the Lord bless. We have, let me see, this Sunday and I guess next Sunday and probably the next Sunday that we will be having our Sunday morning sessions. And so we trust that you will be able to be with us in as many of these as possible. Now, I've been talking with you about the name that is above every name, and of course the person of that name. You can't separate the name from the person because the person is the fulfillment of that name that we've been talking about, God giving him a name because of his obedience unto the cross. We're talking about the Son of God now, through his death, burial, resurrection, but not just that. The death, burial, and resurrection is a three-day period. And to say it is the most important three-day period would certainly be true. But there was 33 years before he went to the cross, 33 years or so after he was born of a virgin. And yet, as a baby, he was born to die. But he didn't, you know, my point is there is that period of time of over 30 years leading up to and ending in the cross. During that time, he traveled throughout the country of Israel. He presented himself to his own. Unfortunately, his own received him not. But he chose his 12, his disciples, and he ministered to them throughout 3.5 years of that time. Part of that time, the 3.5 years, started with a baptism. The baptism of John. John, who is called John the Baptist. And who was born for the purpose. Who was born for that purpose of baptizing Christ. And all of the significance of that baptism. It is with that baptism that this 3.5 year ministry began. Of him choosing his disciples and continuing to minister to them, leading right up to the time of the cross. So when you're talking about this time of Christmas, this holiday, this birth of the baby, don't forget that the story, if you want to call it that, of Christ may have began with the birth of the baby in a manger and the virgin birth. Oh, yes. But sweetheart, the story of the Lord Jesus as far as his flesh was concerned and his living on earth was concerned ended with the cross. So there's over 30 years between the birth and the cross. That makes up a complete story of Christ what John said, that this eternal Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Well, that's who was born of a virgin. The Father had given him a body for that purpose. And he dwelt among us, John said. He tabernacled among us. And the purpose of that was presenting himself first to Israel as their salvation, and then presented himself to his disciples. And keeping them with him for about 3 years, 3.5 years, preparing them for his death, his burial, and his resurrection. For it was those 12 disciples primarily by which the church, which is his body, would begin on what is called the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts. So what I'm saying, hon, Christmas involves a whole lot more than just one day of the year that has become extremely commercialized. Well, all right, so it has. But Christmas is not just about the baby in a manger. Christmas is really the embodiment of our salvation. It's not the beginning of religion as such, but it is the coming in flesh of the one who now by his Spirit lives and dwells in us. So when we do what we do during these times of Christmas and our decorations and all of that, which is fine, and I think is really pretty, but let us remember that it doesn't come and then go in the period of 24 hours. It is the introduction of a life that, though he walked with mankind for over 30 years, that same life dwells in those who receive him in an inward way as their life. So let's just not try to separate Christmas from the reality of our salvation. And then celebrate it all you want to. Something I want to read to you and then just share with you for a while concerning the Son who is given. This is the same theme that I'm still captivated by, the name above every name that we've been talking about. And that name that was given to him of the Father above every name did not come with his birth, with his virgin birth, did not come at that time. He certainly came in the flesh. But that name was given to him because and at the time of his resurrection out from among the dead. And we've read that many times in Philippians, very clearly stated there in Philippians 2, but it is that way throughout the scripture and particularly all of the epistles of Paul. But here's one in Isaiah 9 that I want us to look at. And Isaiah 9, verse 6 through 7. Janie was asking me about this verse or the verse itself and the other night and where it was located. And all of us, we read it. I knew it was in the scripture. I couldn't pinpoint it. And so I did, but in doing that, then I continued to look at it. Isaiah 9, verse 6 through 7. And I'm just having to take this right out of its setting. So you might want to read the whole setting there, but this is the part that can be just taken right out of that setting as the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this can certainly be done. For unto us a child is born. See? That's what many are celebrating right now, those who are truly celebrating Christ, not just a holiday period. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, Oh my, what a tremendous statement. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yeah, we've been talking about a name that is above every name, given to the Son by the Father. Based upon, wherefore, wherefore is the word that is used there in Philippians. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him. Wherefore what? Who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you realize that when that baby was born, that was an exhibit of the obedience of the one born? No, it's not an exhibit of obedience of Mary or of Joseph or of anybody else, other than the one being born. I said, we don't realize that. There is no Christmas cards that say that. None. I don't know. I thought about it yesterday, day before, when I'm looking at this, and I just wanted to thought, just to challenge our hearts concerning this season that we're in, to see if we know any more about this season in relationship to our salvation as we do this season in relationship to whatever else it is we join it to. I enjoy the season, sweetheart. I enjoy the Christmas tree. I enjoy the lights. I do that. But all of that comes and goes. For unto us a child is born. Yes, but unto us the Son is given. We know the child was born in a manger. Where is the Son given? When is the Son given? That's what I want to talk to you about for just a little while. Unto us the Son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Highly exalted, you see. Highly exalted. The Son highly exalted of the Father. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. To him is given a name above every name that is named. So we can't find it really in any one of those, but we're going to leave that alone right now. The point is, he is exalted. He is exalted and given a name above every name. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment. So we have here where this was written in Isaiah and how it is pointing to, for that period of time, that type and shadow which Christ himself fulfilled, but that type and shadow of both David and Solomon. And how, but David and Solomon was put into here, is brought in here because it is something that was the testimony of this son and his kingdom was given through David and Solomon. And now it is fulfilled through Christ himself. To order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let me read verses that are pointing toward the reality that this is speaking of and is fulfilled in Christ, this Son. I want to talk to you about the Son that is given. Romans 1, 1 through 4. I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son. See, hon, we just read part of that in the Scripture, Isaiah. We just read part of what Paul is talking. We just read that concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. All right? And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from among the dead. By what means is a son given? You can just remember this. By means of resurrection out from among the dead. Raised up out from above death, hell, region of Satan, raised up out from among the dead, the whole Adamic creation. And on we could go, raised up out from among the whole realm of the dead, having conquered that realm, having not just overcome that realm, having literally conquered. Can you get a hold of that? Not just dying and then coming forth, almost saying it like many of our religious teachings on it, that it's almost like he escaped from it and got out of it and came forth. Now, hon, he completely destroyed it. He took death in himself and destroyed death. He took everything of the region of death into himself, destroyed it. All of that in his death. It isn't something he escaped, it's something he did away with. You understand that? And you understand that our life in Christ, your life as a believer, is not just getting you out of sin. You escaped out of sin. No, no. No, your whole life there, done away with. It is there with him that we die, so that it may be by him, the resurrection, that we live. That we live. Because the life by which we live, hon, in Christ is the life of the resurrection. Or you could say it is the resurrection life. You actually could say it is the one Son that God has given us. Now that's what I'm talking about. What has God given us? He has given us that Son. What has he given us in that Son? A whole lot more than I can sit here this morning and say, but I'm going to say as much about it as I can. All right? A Son given. Ephesians 1. 19 through 23. This is individually, this is corporately, because Yes, Christ dwells in you, and you, and you, and you individually, but he dwells in us corporately, making us more than a bunch of individuals, making us. And here's the dynamics of it. Here's, my God, here's the miracle of it. Here's the greatness of it. The greatness of my salvation can't really be seen or understood and looked, you know, in this, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's true. But this earthen vessel is given away day by day by day. Started doing that when it came out of my mother's womb and continues to do that now. But, hon, there is another body in this, and that isn't the bodies we have as individuals. It's the body we are because God gave us the resurrection and the life. He gave that to us in the person of His Son. There's no other way there. No other way He could have done that. Well, God could have just raised us up some way and this, that. Yeah, but you see, God just doesn't willy-nilly do anything. His plan, His purpose from before the foundation of the world, His eternal wisdom, His hidden wisdom, His knowing what no other creature did know. I'm saying creature, because the Son knew. And the covenant between the Father and the Son carried out. And it was carried out in the virgin birth, but it was summed up and presented to the Father as a whole, as a finished work, by way of the cross, death, burial, and resurrection. And that's where you and I are brought in. By the cross. Oh, it's a tremendous thing, darling. Tremendous thing. So you see, let's sing all the Christmas carols you want to. Don't anybody even suggest that I'm against Christmas. No, I just want us to understand our salvation and how it relates to that. But there's much more to it than just the birth of a baby. There is the giving of the Son. What is the Ephesians 1, 19 through 23? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? Talking about God's power. What is the, and it should be read, and who, that we know, that we come to understand who this exceeding greatness of God's power is. It's Christ. I can see right now we're not going far in this, but that's all right. We're going as far as we can. Listen to me, darling. I sat last night up here and yesterday, and I just kept thinking about it. It just kept thinking. The greater power, the greatness of His power, the greater work of God. Because there's so many works of God that is set forth here as a type and shadow, and as a type and shadow of this work that I want to talk to you about, the greater work of God. And you know, there's times in my life, and I've been a Christian since a little child, and then being taught in church and all of this kind of stuff, many of us have, that I'd see all of these wonderful things, the Red Sea crossing, the deliverance of Egypt, the deliverance from the flood of Noah, and how we could just go on and on and on, couldn't we? Even in fact, the creation of humanity, the creation of the soul, the first man, Adam. What a tremendous thing! And not only that, but what kind of a work is it, that great work of God, when He calls the sun into existence, basically calls the earth into existence, everything by the power of His Word. You know what I'm trying to talk about here, I suppose. But we go through those things, And there was a time in my life going through them, just seeing, and you know, how great God was, and based, you know, my belief in God upon that and His greatness, and never really knowing anything about the greater work of God as actually being my salvation. Why? Well, because to me, and I was taught that basically and primarily my salvation was my sins were forgiven. And where I was taught, this is a Pentecostal church. It wasn't some church hidden away. It was a Pentecostal movement. But it was about, you know, my sins being forgiven. And yet even in that, no one really, on the basis of that, really brought me to the cross. No, they'd always send Jesus to the cross. Okay, He certainly was obedient and went there. But that's not where it stops. But nobody told me that I was gathered up there in His flesh, gathered up there in the body that God had prepared for Him. Yes, darling, gathered up there in the grown body of that little baby that is in the manger. That body, human body. And it's in Hebrews, written there in the letter to the Hebrews, where Christ says, burning offerings and offerings made by fire and offerings made by men that never satisfied you, but a body hast thou prepared for me. And that's the body. That's the body. The body that started out in a manger is the same body that ended up on the cross. Born crucified. Born crucified. Not much said about that. But then comes our salvation. Much more than the forgiveness of sins. The greatness of our salvation is this Son Himself. Just read a little bit here. We've been talking about this forever. This Son, unto us a Son is given, and in what we read about Him. And here, concerning His Son Jesus Christ, declared to be the Son of God with power, the resurrection out from among the dead, Christ saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And then here, Paul saying that you would understand, that you would know, that God would open the eyes of your understanding. Right here in Ephesians 1, along from about verse 16, 17, 18, 9 through 23. I've just got here 19 through 23. Paul is saying, I wish I would. He didn't say I wish. I'm praying for you that God would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that He would open the eyes of your understanding, that you would begin. He's talking to the church, darling. Talking to the church. That He would open your eyes, that you would understand who is the greater work of God, that you would understand the greater work of God because He's in you. So you need to begin to understand the greater work of God that is dwelling in you. The greater work of God. Why so? Because it is the transformation of the greater work of God, because we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, and the result of that is one new creation where old things are done away and the new Christ Himself is come. the removing of one creation out from His sight, as it were, bringing it to the cross in His Son. And you see, honey, this wasn't like what the type and shadow, Israel in type and shadow, did in Canaan of, you know, destroying and killing and battling and winning battles and all that. No, no, and taking away that first that was there, that the second, the type and shadow of the second, may come in and possess the land. All of that's pointing toward our salvation, which is the greatest work of God ever done, of God. Because you see, to breathe and to create a soul, a living soul, is one thing. But God never dwelt in that soul. No, you know that. No, that's not a big argument, even in Christianity. God never dwelt in that. The Spirit of God never dwelt in him. But now, having that, after that soul has fallen, after that soul lost fellowship with God, after that soul did commit sin and away from God and all of that, but to take that same soul, bring it to the cross, and fulfill in that soul the death that was, thou shalt surely die, and the day you eat of this, you shall surely die. You will be separated from life. You will be separated from the giver of life. You will be separated from me. The moment you do that, and the moment he did it, his eyes opened, he saw his sin. He never found anything good there. He saw his evil, and his wife saw it, and they ran and hid from God. But the greater work of that is not just punish it. God brought it to the cross, where Christ gathered it into his body, gathered it into himself, and as me and as you, he died. I mean, he died, folks. He, for that time, just 3 days, he said, it's just going to take me 3 days to get this done. Now, he didn't say it in that, with that attitude, but 3 days. 3 days. This one will be destroyed. A new one is raised up. 3 days. It was his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Hon, those are not incidents. Those are days. Those are reality of the Sabbath. Those are reality of days. That comes to a fullness of time. A fullness of time. The cross always speaks of it. Gathers up all of these times of Israel's, the times, oh yes, every one of them, the times of the feast, those three feasts and the seven feasts and all of the times, all of that. Do we know that? It's all gathered up in the cross. Every bit of it is gathered up in the cross. For when the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son. Not just the birth of a child. No, he sent his Son. Yes, through that birth. When the fullness of the time was come, for everything to be gathered up into those 3 days, all of which is fulfilled in Christ. It brings it down to one great Sabbath day. Well, all right. Where am I here? The exceeding greatness. In the death of his Son, the Adamic creation died. Died in sin. Died. But it was adjudicated as being death. What kind of death? Separated from life. No life. No life of God. No life. Existence, but no life. Separated. Christ for that period of time, separated himself. No man, no power, nothing could have separated him. He says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own will and choice. I give it freely. And if I give it, then I can take it again. What he's saying there, and what he does say there, if you'll read it all, but what he says there is, no one can separate me from my Father. My Father and I, here's where it gets good, honey. I know it. I'm sorry for doing what I do, but it just overwhelms me. See, there's so much more to this, the name above every name, than us reaching in and drawing it out of a paper bag and saying, I got that name. No, that name is an understanding of the Father conveyed upon the Son. That's the name. That's the exaltation. I don't know whether you can pronounce it or not. It was given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it doesn't eliminate the Lord Jesus Christ. But that name, what we're talking about there is a relationship between the Father and the Son. That relationship of oneness, of Jesus saying, but the Father and I are one. I am in the Father, my Father in me. That's what we just read a while ago here in Isaiah 6 and 6. And you ought to look at some of the biblical commentators who that just go crazy on that deal trying to explain it away. It has to do with a relationship between the Father and the Son. It's not eliminating the Father, and it's certainly not eliminating the Son. My Lord, hon, is talking about a divine relationship into which you and I are brought when we are given the Son who dwells in us and we dwell in Him. No, that doesn't make us the Father or the Son. But it makes us the vessel, the house, the vehicle of the Father and the Son. Jesus says, we will make our abode. We are His body, hon. Our salvation lives in us. See, we want a salvation given to us, then says, adios, see you one day in heaven. No. Our salvation lives in us. Then why did I say a while ago He's the exceeding great, the greatest work of God? Because a whole new creation takes place. In the resurrection, being received in our soul. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead who hear my voice shall live. That's what draws us to. No, because no man cometh to the Son except the Father draw him. And then he says in another place, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way. I started to say the resurrection and the life. He is, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But you see, no man cometh unto him. And we find that in John, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, long in there. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. You have to be drawn by the Spirit of God. You can't get up one morning and say, oh, ho-hum, I believe I'll go get saved. I believe I'll... you can get up and say, I believe I'll be a Christian and try to live better, and I believe I'll go join the church on the corner and see if they can help me and do all of that. But you can't be born again that way. No, that's a work of the Spirit because it is a birth of the Spirit. Jesus says it. I didn't coin that phrase. And that's what this is talking about. The greatest gift of God is His Son. Yes, was He given to humanity as a baby? Absolutely. Was that necessary? Well, yes, it was necessary. It was necessary to Him going to the cross, however. But He went to the cross so He could live in us by His Spirit. I know there's a lot in what I just now, that little phrase, but that's the way it comes. He went to the cross so that He could dwell in us. Well, He brings us into His death, into His burial, His resurrection. But the whole end of the matter, honey, is life. The whole end of the matter is a whole new creation of God. A workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus, wherein there was nothing there. God did it. Nothing. Nothing there done of a man. Nothing there. And we don't progress into that either. No. It could be one, and really is. But it could certainly be one day I'm dead in sin. The next day, Christ is in me. What's happened? Well, there's had to be a new birth taking place. I've had to be drawn of the Lord, and I've had to come to the Lord. Nicodemus, you know, Jesus didn't go out and find him under a rock. He came to the Lord. Nicodemus, you must be born from above. Born not of flesh, but of a spirit. Hon, it is my opinion, and I stand upon it, that new birth and resurrection are one and the same. New birth, resurrection, one and the same. Show me that time card again, please. 45. I didn't start my timer up here. We got it, didn't we? 10 minutes. Is that it? Okay, see, I got these reading glasses on. I can't see those numbers when you hold them up. Here's what I want to tell you. And we'll come back to this. We'll come back to this because we hadn't, as you understand, but we're talking about that Son. Just trying to gather some stuff into this one statement, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Yeah, okay, when? There are no cards in Walmart about a son being given. There may be some Easter cards there, but we're not talking about Easter. We're talking about a son given. The exceeding greatness of His power in us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. That's the working of the resurrection in you and I. And it begins with new birth. Quickened together. Quickened. Life out from among the dead. There's only one life out from among the dead. He raised up this Son out from among the dead. This day have I begotten thee. Thou art my firstborn son. We've quoted that from all over the Bible. Firstborn among many brethren. Yes, firstborn. To him belongs the inheritance. To him belongs everything. Then where do we find the all things, the everything, the inheritance given of the Father? We find it in the Son. Where is the Son? Oh, darling, he's in me. And he's in you who are born again. Born from above. It's the greatest miracle of God. Well, you see, Jesus did miracles. Old covenant writings. Yeah, Red Sea miracles. All kind of miracles. But the greatest miracle worker is to realize that the work of miracles is to realize that the one who works the miracles is the one who lives in our soul. He's the greatest miracle. Not only for his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and saying, Father, everything that you gave me to finish, everything in our covenant together as Father and Son, everything is done, Father, and I present myself to you as the doing of it. Because it has pleased you, Father, that it be done in me. Father, it is finished. All of these things we've looked at, hon. I'm telling you, there's the greatest work of God. That's not when he's rebuilding something. That's all things new. That's not when he took what he did centuries ago and made it better. No. New creation. Totally new. Anything of the old in it? No. New creation wherein dwelleth nothing of the old. Nothing of the old. Behold, all things are become new. Why? Because the new himself, behold, the new is come. A greater than Moses, a greater house than Moses' house, a greater than David, a greater than Solomon, a greater than the tabernacle. Do you know, darling, that he is the substance and summation of everything that I just got through saying? The house of David, the house of Solomon, that's Christ. That's him. That was all about him. It's not something that he then, in like manner, does. No, it's who he is. In that day, he says, you'll know I am in my Father. I am in my Father. You will know. That's a great knowing, honey. I can sit up here and holler and scream it to myself all I want to, but that's a great knowing, and only the Father can open the eyes of our understanding to that tremendous realization. Now, I know that some have found verses that relate to what I'm talking about this morning, but they found those verses, they've read them, and then they have done something with them as a teaching, but they've done all of that with ever never seeing Christ. They see themselves in those verses, and they come up as being the sons of God, not except the Son dwell in you. The Christ of God. Nah, you start talking that away, you end up as the Antichrist. Oh yeah, end up being God himself, having divinity. No, wrong again. Sitting here before you today, sitting right here, and I'm not the only one in the room, but sitting right here, you can see a person who has no life but Christ. You can see a person in whom Christ by His eternal Spirit dwells. You see a person in whom the glory of God revealed in His Son, in the face of Jesus Christ. You can see one sitting here who has that life. But the one you see sitting here is not that life. I am not Christ, the eternal Son. And you aren't either, sweetheart. But we are His body. He is our life. Do you understand? He is our life. I've said before, He is my resurrection. But He is not the resurrection of me. I'm not a better Adam raised up. No, I died, for you are dead, for you are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when He who is our life appears, then you, in the light of His appearing, you appear as one who lives by Him and in Him. And that's true, darling. The eyes of our understanding. Well, all right. But I'm talking to you about the greatness of that Son. And every time I do that, because I don't know where it's going to go and where it's recorded and who maybe 20 years from now will stumble up on it, I don't know. Because that has happened in all the years before now. So what I want to be sure to say is that I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the one who has brought us through His own self and into a union with Himself to be a new creation, wherein there is not found a Jew or a Gentile or a bond or a free or a male or a female. See, it's not gender-based. It's not nationality-based. It's spirit-based. It's spirit-based. Who lives there? Christ lives there. In whom? In you and I. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. How so? Because the old things are done away and the new has come. Christ lives in that creation. Unto us a Son is given. I just wanted to spend a little while. Most all this is repetitious, I realize that, but maybe it'll wake some of us up. Who knows? So I wanted to just talk to you about this Son. He is the one given of God. And He comes and lives in the power in us. His body. He makes us to be the body of His resurrection. He makes us to be the house of His glory. Not without Him, hon, we're not. Not without Him, no. But through our union with Him, this gift of God, the gift of God's love, the gift of God's joy, the gift of God's grace. I mean, we could go through a list on that. In fact, I have it written out over here. It's the Son. Who is it the Father wants us to see? The one in whom He has done everything that He has done. The one in whom the whole work of God, plan, purpose, work of God is fulfilled and finished. Who is that? It is the Son. The greater work. The greater work of God than any of the works that pointed to Him, including planet Earth. The greater work, my, is that which is finished in this Son. Now look at what God has given us. See, we can't even imagine it. So we do try to imagine it and make imaginations out of it. No, but there is a reality to this creation in whom we now dwell. There is a reality to this salvation who now dwells in us and we in Him. But that reality comes with the Father doing what only the Father can do. Open the eyes of our understanding. That we may see that work of God in the Son. Hallelujah. And so much more than just seeing that, but to grow in that and to have that knowledge and that light actually begin, really, really, really begin to possess, to take hold of our soul, to lead, to guide, to direct our soul. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for being with us this morning. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 is primarily what we've been looking at, and just bringing a few things into that. Just remember that when you are born again, this miracle of new birth, that it is the giving and the receive on God's part, receiving on our part, a life which has already conquered death. For the one we receive in new birth is the resurrection and the life. He is. Honey, new birth is a full-grown son. You understand? We're the one that grow in the knowledge, understanding, and so forth. The resurrection and the life is what we receive, is who we receive. So you've got to understand that. It is the giving of a life which has already conquered death. It is nothing other than resurrection out from among the dead. Who is my resurrection out from among the dead? Christ is. Is it something He does for me apart from Himself? No. No. It's who He is living in me. And it's the same way with you, honey. Now there's the miracle of our salvation. And there's the true miracle and the great miracle, I'll just throw it out, of Christmas. The babe in a manger. The greater miracle, believe me, is the Son in the believer. The one, yes, necessitates the other. I don't argue about that. But let's think about the Son dwelling in His body, in you. What a miracle. Amen. That's it.